So then let's just read again Luke 11 from verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive ourselves, forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Familiar words, I'm sure, for many of us. So having worked through essentially verse 2 on the last three occasions I've been speaking, here we come to verse 3. "Give us each day our daily bread." Or it can also be translated in other versions, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. So that is our text for this morning. And right at the outset, just to establish what are we talking about here, what kind of bread is this referring to? Is it the bread on your plate? Is this a prayer to God to supply our three square meals a day? Well, I have no doubt there are believers in the world who are praying it in that vein, and we cannot despise that, and neither does the Lord. But really, if you look through the New Testament and the Old, in fact, and you'll see much of the teaching that the Lord Jesus gave about bread was really to do with the bread that sustains our spiritual life. It's the bread that he gives in order to keep us going, to strengthen our souls, to strengthen our hearts and our minds. It's that spiritual bread for our spiritual life, and more of that a bit later on. So that's what's in view here. That's what the Lord is talking about. Give us this day our daily bread. That which he wants to give us through his word primarily to sustain us. And what I want to do is very simply go through the verse word by word. And we'll take each word as it comes and look to the Lord to really open up to us some of what's here. So the first word is give. You may have noticed. And this is worth remembering, because for all that you will hear from this pulpit and many others, I trust, about the need, and I'll be saying it myself later on, the need for us to be getting into the word daily, and the need for us to give time to being in the scriptures, and to take pains to be in the Word of God and to discover what he wants to say to us. It's worth noticing right at the outset that the prayer is give. We are all dependent upon the Lord God to feed us and to give to us. And this is wonderful because for two reasons. So firstly, it doesn't matter whether you've been a believer 40 years or 40 minutes. We are all in the same boat in this. You never graduate beyond being dependent upon God to instruct you in his word. It doesn't say, go and get your daily bread. It's no, give us today our daily bread. And so day by day, we're absolutely dependent upon God. And what it means is that if you happen to be blessed with an enormous intellect, you are at no advantage. And if you have been blessed with, and I mean this, if you've been blessed with less of an intellect, you are at no disadvantage. In fact, you've probably got more of an advantage than the person with the big one. But nevertheless, we are all dependent upon God because it's the Lord giving to us. That's what we need. And please hold that in view. Whenever you hear me and others up the front here saying, be in the scriptures, and absolutely, I'll never stop saying it, but for all that, folks, we need the Lord to feed us. And it's a place of daily dependence. So none of us can ever become self-sufficient and go off and get our own bread and get clever about it. No, it's humbling, isn't it? You might have been a Christian your whole life and still your prayer in the morning is, Lord, give me something today. Because what if you don't? I've got nothing. So that's good, isn't it? It's very humbling. It's a right leveller for every believer. Give us this day our daily bread. Secondly, us. give us. And I think this is a very interesting thing. And you'll notice that all through this teaching the Lord gives on prayer, it's framed in the plural. So it's our Father. It's give us this day, forgive us our sins as we forgive those, and so on. So why is that? How are we to understand this? Well, I think there's two things. Firstly, it's understanding that there are no Lone Ranger Christians. When you were born again, you were baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says. There are certain baptisms that we are commanded to go through, but in a sense, you could resist if you so chose. You may refuse water baptism. I don't advise it. On the contrary, the scripture says, believe and be baptized. But you could. Okay? You could refuse baptism in the Holy Spirit. You cannot refuse the fact that you've been baptized into the body of Christ. That was done. When you were born again, you were placed into the body of the Lord Jesus. So there are no Lone Ranger Christians, as I say. We're not, this idea of I'm going to have my own faith. Well, I'm sorry, it's completely unbiblical. Because we are a body, we're together. So, in a sense, and taking the analogy you read in 1 Corinthians about the body, if I'm the eye and if someone else is the hand and someone else is the foot, just for example's sake, if the foot is not receiving its bread, if the foot is not in the place of strength it needs to be, then the whole body is missing a foot. Okay? If you slam your finger in the car door, your finger's not going, ah, oh, that really hurt. No, you're going, ow, my finger hurts. You, as the body, you feel the lack, the pain, the problem of that individual member that's damaged. And so it is for us corporately. Every person within the fellowship is necessary. Every member of the Church of Christ, globally but locally here, is necessary. Do not write yourself off as unnecessary to the Church of God, to the body of Christ here. You are necessary. And therefore, you being in the place you need to be is necessary. You receiving the food God wants to give you is necessary. Yes, for your own life, and I would even say primarily for your own spiritual growth. But understand that your own spiritual growth is intimately linked to the functioning of the body as a whole. And so in a sense, the bread that you receive is therefore what the body receives. Do you see? And hence give us today. But the other lovely thing is that if you are receiving from God, and if you're taking time to be in the Word, and the Lord is speaking to you, and He's nourishing you, and you're building up a storehouse of grain, to use a slightly different analogy. If you're doing that faithfully, it won't be long before the Lord begins to use you to speak to other people. It won't be too long before things that God has spoken to you, you'll just be able to share with somebody else. And it will be an encouragement to them and a blessing. Which is what it says in 1 Corinthians 4, isn't it, I think, about that we may comfort others with the comfort wherewith we were comforted with. So the comfort God gives to you, you'll be able to share with other people. And so that, in that sense, the bread you receive, the blessing, the encouragement, the consolation you receive from God becomes ours. And so we can say, even though these things are worked out individually, I believe, we need to be each of us before God, seeking Him for spiritual nourishment. It will become ours. And so in a sense we say, give us this day our daily bread. Then we come to the next section. Give us this day, as it is in Matthew chapter 6, or in Luke's Gospel, in some translations, give us day by day. So, 3 days, okay? Give us this day, Matthew, and then Luke, give us day by day, 3 days, 3 words a day. They are all different words in the Greek. And I was fascinated by this when I began to look into this, because they're all saying something slightly different. So, Matthew, give us this day. Those two English words, this and day, they are translating a single Greek word, okay? So the idea is, now is very specifically today. So it's not just a sort of a general sense of, oh, and the day that happens to be today, give me something. It's saying, no, Lord, today, give me for this day my daily bread. And then it gets amplified a bit further as you look at the meanings of the words in Luke's equivalent verse, where it says, give us day by day. Actually, the first of those words, day, I'm not confusing you here, doesn't mean day at all. It's very interesting. So it's translated, I'll give you some examples. It can be translated according to, or if you like, in line with, or against. So you might say, give us according to this day our daily bread. Or give us against this day our daily bread. Give us in this day our daily bread. And if you begin to think about some of that, it's wonderful. So give us according to this day. Isn't that lovely? The Lord, his intention is to give you something in accordance with the day that's coming. And who knows what a day holds? You know, you wake up this morning, and in a sense, who knows? They say, don't they, a week is a long time in the politics. But I think a day is a long time in the life of a believer. And anybody, really. Because who knows what happens in a day? And some of you have experienced that. News reaches you in one day. And it can really be tough, can't it? And suddenly, life changes dramatically. But the God who woke you up that morning, he knows what the day holds. And he says, I want to give you, according to the day that's coming, bread. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that wonderful? The Lord knows what's going to come your way. And according to the day that you have ahead, the Lord is able to feed you. He's able to sustain you. He's able to give you something that will prepare you, that will strengthen you, something that will steady your heart through whatever comes, whatever storm arises. If you've been before the Lord, you can say, ah, thank you, Lord, you said that to me. And there can be something from God that is just in accordance with your day that's coming. Isn't that good? Or even the word against. So that's, for example, the word the Lord Jesus uses when he says, a house divided against itself will not stand. It's that Greek word against, okay? Give us against this day our daily bread. And again, the Lord knows what can come at you and what the enemy can throw at you in a day. Think about Psalm 91, that it talks about the terrors by night and the arrow that flies by day. And we know where those arrows are from, don't we? Ephesians 6 speaks about the flaming arrows of the evil one. So the enemy can fling things at us. There can come an attack. Sometimes, you know, circumstances hit us, and it's just because that's life in a fallen world. But other times, as believers, we can come under real spiritual attack because we have an adversary. We heard about Amalek, was it last week, I think? And the strategies of the enemy to attack God's people. We think about the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's prowling around. And the enemy is forever even just seeking to wear down the saints. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the enemy will work and he'll want to fling an arrow at us by day. But what is it that extinguishes those arrows? What quenches them? The shield of faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you see, it's as you've been before God, and as you've heard something from the Lord, and as he's quickened his word to you, and he's given you something against the day, and it can just be the ministry you need. If you'll forgive a brief personal example of this, some time ago I was travelling in New Zealand, quite a time ago, and I was really struggling with all manner of accusations and feelings of guilt and condemnation, and really thinking I'd blown it, feeling that I had really displeased God. And that's a difficult thing. It's hard to stand when you're unsure whether you're right with God. It's a cunning trick of the enemy. He wants to bring us under condemnation so that we feel as if we are not right with God. And then it's quite hard to resist, because you're thinking, oh, well, how can I resist the enemy? I'm not right with the Lord. It's a tough place to be. And I was somewhat despairing. So I sort of slumped down beside a river in the middle of nowhere. I forget where it was now. I said, Lord, I need you to help me. Got my Bible out. And I was meditating through Psalm 27. And at the end of that psalm, it says, false witnesses have risen against me. And it was absolutely glorious, because it just, the faith came into my heart that all of these thoughts of these condemning, these lying thoughts, these accusations, it was from false witnesses. And I knew where it was from. And I was able to thank God, and I resisted the enemy and the lies he was bringing. And my heart was set at liberty. And it was tremendous. You see, the Lord wants to give you bread against the day and against the strategies that the enemy wants to throw at you. So how important it is, how necessary it is that we're in the Word of God, so that he can do that. He can fortify us and give us, equip us with the shield of faith to hold up against those flaming arrows. So give us this day, give us day by day. So that's that first of those days in Luke, according to or against. And then against this day, that can mean a 24-hour period, which is kind of what I've been alluding to so far. In any given day, something can happen, something can come at you. But it can also mean, I'll just read this to you, a period of undefined length marked by certain characteristics, such as perplexity, distress, prosperity, adversity, trial, testing, salvation, or wrath, and revelation of the judgments of God. So it doesn't necessarily just refer to a 24-hour period, but a period of undefined length marked by certain characteristics. And again, some of you know what that's like. Some of you, I'm sure, are in a day of adversity, in that sense of a period. You may be in a period of time, a day of perplexity, a day of distress. You may be in a time of testing when you feel like you're being stretched, and you're wondering quite how much more you can stretch before you snap. But beloved friends, the Lord's intention is to feed you and to give you bread for that time and for that period, in order to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to sustain you, to give you hope, to help you to keep looking unto him, so that you don't throw in the towel and give up. The Lord wants to encourage you to press on through with him. Because there may be times when the Lord is pleased to whisk us out of something, and at times he does. Very often God's way is actually to see us through something. And I can only testify again personally of times when I've known this, and I've been in the thick of something, and yet, day by day, God has just been speaking to me and bringing his word, and in just that divine way that you even since don't understand, it just carries you through a period that's difficult. You may remember that Joseph was in prison, and I think he had a glimmer of hope when he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the cupbearer, and they were both interpreted accurately. And he said, "Oh, remember me, by the way, when you're set free to the cupbearer, remember me." And maybe he thought, "Oh, he'll put in a good word, and I'll get released." And in fact, he had two more years in prison. And it says at the beginning of whichever chapter it is, it says, after two, I think it's something like two full years. If you translate that literally, it's 2 years of days. And maybe you feel, oh, I've had a year of days. And every day has been hard. Every day has been a battle. You wake up in the morning and you think, oh God, another day. How am I going to get through this one? And you go to bed at night and say, thank you, Lord, now there's tomorrow. And every day is a long day. Do you know what I mean? Okay, 2 years of days Joseph was in prison. Maybe you've been having some long days of late. Dear friend, God's his ability and his intention, his desire is to sustain you through these times, to give you what you need to carry you through. The angel said to Elijah, eat, because the journey is too great for you. And only the sustaining hand of God can see us through certain things. But be encouraged, he's able to bring you through. So give us this day. And then we get to the last two words, our daily, the first one. This can be described, to get the fullness of the word, of, if you like, the bread of our necessity, our needful bread. Or it can be the bread that suffices for each day. It can mean, I like this, bread for going on. Isn't that good? God wants to give you bread to go on. He wants to feed you so you can take the next step. So you can face the next challenge. So you can go on with him. Bread that suffices for this day and the next. But I also want to say to you, just to state the obvious, if your Bible says anything like, give us this day our weekly bread, then chuck it away and find a new one. If it says, give us this day my every other day bread, or give me this day my time to time bread, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, give us this day our daily bread. So how can we afford to have food from God anything less than daily? And I want to say this gently, dear friends, but if you are in a place where your time with God in the scriptures is anything other than daily, then you've not fulfilled the pattern the Lord Jesus gave us. The divine pattern, the divine order is daily bread. Because Jesus knows that's what we need. If we are to really live, if we're to really press on with God, if we're to really gain ground in spiritual things and to come to maturity and become the people he wants us to be, then we need daily bread. And I just want to say that in the most encouraging way I possibly can. Given all that we've looked at already, all the Lord wants to do to strengthen, to help sustain you, My, why would you be there in your lesson daily? So daily bread, make it your determined purpose to feed daily. And then it says, last of all, this word bread. And this is good, isn't it? It doesn't say give us this day our daily sermon or our daily inspirational thought or a daily theological treatise. No, you need bread. We need bread. And so, why is this? Let me just look at one or two other scriptures, get my notes ready. Because Jesus himself said, did he not, I am the bread of life. I am the true bread which comes down from heaven. So what we're really talking about is being, coming to the Lord each day, and opening his word, because through the written word, we actually feed on him who is the living word of God. So the Lord doesn't want, when he says, when we're commanded to seek daily bread, it's not about just, as I say, seeking interesting theological perspectives or getting a new slant on a particular verse or something. It's really about feeding on Christ himself. You look at the times when bread was broken in the word of God. You know, and first of all, there were the feeding of the 5,000. What happened? The bread had to be broken. And it was distributed. And then think at the Last Supper. It says that giving thanks. You know, I find that incredible. Jesus held that bread up, knowing what it signified, and he thanked God. Can you imagine that? Knowing all that meant for him personally. But the bread was broken. And he fed his disciples. He's telling us something. And it's more than just the fact that he died so that we can have new life. He didn't just let his body be shattered and broken in order that we could somehow just limp across the threshold into the kingdom of God and sit there. No. It's so that we can be born again as our first step into the, in a sense, the lifelong journey that is salvation. And that will be accomplished and fulfilled when we finally stand in glory. And Jesus died and his body was broken that we might be fed every day. And he wants to continue to feed you with the broken bread. As he did with his disciples upon the earth, so it is now. As Christ himself is glorified, but by his Spirit upon the earth, he wants to feed us day by day of himself. That we are actually taking into ourselves and receiving through the scriptures the life of Christ. This is the calling. This is what God has ordained for the people. What a privilege. What a blessing that we should be able to come into such things. And let's think a bit further about bread. Why else bread? Because bread means fellowship. See, whenever there's a meal, when there's a... if it was give us this day our daily study, that would just be something very academic and serious. But if it's give us this day our daily bread, it implies eating with someone. It implies communion. It implies being together. Isn't that a beautiful thing? What the Lord is saying is, I want to meet with you every day. Isn't that encouraging? Now, let me say this. You might not necessarily, in a sense, feel something every day. You might come to the Word of God and you're just there and you're reading through and you're meditating because you know it's the good and the right thing to do and it's the pattern God has ordained. And you might not feel anything, but you've met with God. Whether you feel it or not, don't live by your feelings. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And in God's Word, he meets with us. In the scriptures, he draws near to his people, and therein we have communion. And isn't it wonderful that God has called us into fellowship with his Son? I mean, incredible. Even you think about the Lord speaking about the church at Laodicea, a church that was in such a shocking condition. And they had no idea that Jesus was outside, and he was knocking, hoping someone would let him in. And what does he say? If anyone hears me and answers, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of a church that was absolutely riddled with problems, thought they had it all, and actually they had nothing. And you might say, if anyone answers the door, I'll come in and I'll sort out the erroneous doctrine and I'll deal with their lukewarm hearts and I'll set the church back on track. The Lord doesn't say that. He says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. I want fellowship. God wants to meet with his people. That's his desire. Now, yes, the Lord wants to do everything else as well, but can I say that it flows out of our fellowship with God? That comes from our communion with him. You've been called, beloved friends, into a relationship, primarily. Not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, I heard somebody last night, it was Ravi Zacharias, actually. Some of you may know him. He said, not sure if this is a word, but he said, Christians are the singiest people on earth. Now, isn't that good? Because we have a song in our hearts. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? The most singy religion on earth, or something like that, he said. We sing the most. How about that? That's better, isn't it? Praise be to God. He wants to sup with you, dear friends. And he beckons you to do so with him. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't that lovely? That's the promise. So let's seek to do that. That's why it's bread. So then, let's go a little further. Joshua chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there, please do. Thank you. Joshua 1, let's read verse 8. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Moses had died. So this is really quite a crucial time. The Lord had declared very emphatically, Moses, my servant, is dead. That wasn't just a statement of fact. The Lord was pointing out, in a sense, as regards God's purpose for the people of Israel at that point, which was to go and inherit the land, the law was insufficient. They needed Joshua, Yeshua. And the Lord says to him, this book of the law shall not depart from your shelf. It says from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. It's a funny place to put a book, but that's what the instruction is. Put the book in your mouth and don't take it out. Meditate, feed, chew upon, ponder, consider, ruminate upon the word of God. Make it your food. And what's the result of doing so? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So it's very specifically when we meditate upon the scriptures, when we feed upon God's word, that's when we are enabled to be careful to do it. Because when you feed on something, the whole point is that it becomes a part of you. The food that you sit down to, when you're having a natural meal, you eat it, and very literally, some of that food becomes physically built into your body. You become what you eat. What you eat becomes you. The same is true spiritually. The Lord wants to feed us. I mean, he wants us to meditate so that the very character and person of Jesus that we feed upon through the scriptures is actually built into who we are. So you see, the word became flesh, John 1. The same is true here in a sense. The word of God, the written word of God, and through it, the living word of God, Jesus Christ, as we feed upon the scriptures, gets built into us, and Christ, the character, the person of Christ, becomes manifest in us also. And so we are therefore able to be careful to do according to all that is written in the word of God. And then if you think further of Ezekiel, don't worry about turning there just for the sake of time. So Ezekiel chapter 3, again the very beginning of Ezekiel's ministry. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, I'm reading from verse 1 of chapter 3, then he said to me, that's God, said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. It's amazing. Ezekiel could not go and speak unless he had first eaten. That was the divine order for his ministry, but I believe it applies to every effective ministry, really. Or even if it's not in a sense within the context of a ministry as such, but just being effective in God's purposes. We have to eat, we have to feed ourselves before we are then able to go and speak to other people. We dare not try to preach to anybody else if we've not ourselves been feeding, because it's found very hollow. And we may be found hypocrites. But we are to feed, and having fed, we can then go and speak. So give us this day our daily bread, we're told. But then I just want to reflect upon the fact that, again, where this has all come from. The Lord, in teaching his disciples, as we read at the start of the message, is giving them, if you like, the priorities in prayer. And just consider it. He's taught them that they need to pray that his name would be hallowed. They had to pray that the kingdom of God would be established upon the earth. What mighty things. That the will of God should be done, should be executed upon this earth. I mean, things about the divine order and God's purposes, huge things. And then butted up right next to that is, give us this day our daily bread. And I think somehow we underestimate so often the importance of this. But the Lord Jesus is almost, it's in the same breath, it's in the same list of things that should, in a sense, frame our priorities in prayer. Have we seen, have I seen, I'm not sure I have really, have we seen how critical it is? It is so vital for every one of us. And why is that? Well, as I said earlier, just as much as we have a physical life that has to be sustained by spiritual food, by physical food, our spiritual life must be sustained by spiritual food. And as surely as our physical life will grow weak and die if we don't physically eat, so our spiritual life will be terribly emaciated if we are not feeding regularly. The Lord wants to strengthen us. And I think it's amazing because you remember when Moses is recounting the history of God's dealings with the people of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And he's, in a sense, reviewing the journey. And then we read this, reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses says that he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. It's one of those verses that might not make immediate sense. You might think, he humbled you and let you be hungry, that you might understand that you need food, physical food. But actually, it was in their physical extremity they learnt the need for the Word of God. And so often, friends, it's as we end up in a position of difficulty, as our circumstances become constrained, as we find ourselves in a position of lack in one way or another, the thing that we realise that we need is not so much the immediate answer to that lack, but actually it's God's word. It's incredible. And through it, God teaches you that actually, even if the problem's not sorted out, God's word is enough. And so we discover that we cannot live by bread alone. And even if we did have enough, you still couldn't live by bread alone. But we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so you see, it's what God speaks. And so the Lord says, as rain and snow fall to the earth and do not return without watering it and without furnishing, without furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So are we feeding? The answer is yes. But really the bigger question is, what are you feeding on? Nobody's feeding on nothing. Not one of us are feeding on nothing. Mentally, I mean, okay? Because we're all thinking about something. There's something that's occupying our thoughts. And the choice we have is that either we are feeding upon the things that God supplies for us day by day. Either we fill our minds and we guard and protect our minds with the truth and that spoken word of God, that daily bread. Or we may be feeding upon the difficulty of our circumstances. Or we might feed upon our anxieties and our fears. We can feed upon jealousy. It's possible for us to feed upon past hurts. Things, you know, wrongs that we've suffered. And they may be absolutely legitimate complaints in one sense. But we turn them over in our minds, and we turn them over, and we replay events time and again, and we feed upon it. And it can be so destructive. We may feed upon worldly things. Perhaps we feed upon ambitions that are just worldly, and God wants us to be occupied with something different. So many things that we could potentially fill our minds with. We can feed on temptation. Folks, if we are setting before our eyes things that we ought not look upon and feeding on that, what's that going to do to your spiritual life? If we are filling our minds with violent things or things that are just displeasing in the sight of God, you know, unpleasant music, sexually provocative music, things that are just completely alien to the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we're feeding on these things, what good is that going to do us? It will strengthen your carnal nature, and it will weaken the new man in Christ. And so we are instructed in Philippians chapter 4. Here's a good filter, if I can describe it like that. Anything you're going to put into your mind, put it through this filter. And if it doesn't make it through, get rid of it. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8, whatever is true. You know, dear friends, we can spend so much time thinking about things that are not actually true. We can think about things that might happen. You know, we can feed on the what-ifs. But what if this person does this? What if that happens? What if this? What if I lose my job? What if I? What if? And it's not true. And God says, dwell upon what's true. Psalms 37:3 says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Make that your food. Whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is right, that's generally translated righteous, whatever is pure. How many things are getting stuck in your filter? Whatever is lovely. I haven't got time to look at to really dig into the meaning of these words. Whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. That word dwell can mean ponder. But it means to, again, to think about, to consider. Very literally, it actually means to take an inventory of. Any accountants among you be getting excited right now? Take an inventory of these things. What do you take inventories of? Again, are we taking an inventory of all of our problems? Oh my, God wants us to feed upon his truth. Rather than doing that, why don't you take an inventory of all the blessings of God? Why don't you take an inventory of every time he's favoured you and every time his hand has blessed you? Take an inventory of every time the Lord has spoken good things into your life. Every problem you've had, the Lord has delivered you out of it. Every promise of his love and his faithfulness. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. The word of God says. The word of God says. Take an inventory of these things. Rather than forever adding up your lists of things that might go wrong. Dwell upon these things. Because, beloved, the battleground so often is our minds. And I'll close with this. So very often, the enemy will attack our minds. That's where his attack is leveled at. And if he can get you thinking a bit crooked, if he can get you distracted, if he can get you discouraged, if he can get you loving the things that are not of God, and so often that begins with our minds, folks, then we can become susceptible. Which is why the things that we feed on are crucial. Don't begin to feed on the food that the devil wants to give you. If our mind is the battleground, there are three foes arrayed against us in it. The enemy, and he will want to attack you with all manner of thoughts and lies and accusations and temptations. The world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Worldliness, it claws at your mind. It wants to conform your thinking to a way that is unbiblical, so that you judge and you perceive things incorrectly. The enemy, the world, And then there's you and me. And our own souls. And our souls will speak to us. Which is why David spoke to his soul. And he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." How important it is that we speak to our souls. Don't feed upon what your soul is telling you. Feed upon what the Word of God is telling you. Make it your daily bread. And in so doing, we shall be strengthened and sustained, and able to walk the path God has set before us. Let's pray.